try to cut off my head. I just wish, and now we're going to cut off head. Bet you can't. I told you. But and then we had another surgery in 13, and they want to do another one. And what they want to do, I'm going to have my own translation of the Bible. I'm calling it the Gipp Standard Version. It's going to say, if thy neck offend thee, pluck it off and cast it from thee. What they want to do is pretty drastic, so I'm not running from the surgeon. But if you would take a prayer card, it'd be appreciated. That is literally what keeps us going. I've often said that if everybody's praying for us, quits praying today, I will not be in the ministry a week from now. I just inspired some of you, didn't it? Anyway, I'm not asking you to pray any particular time. We figure this, guys, if we get onto a Baptist refrigerator, we got like 6 opportunities a day of getting prayed for. So those will be back there. And then Kathy, we have an overstock of books. What we do, because I fly a lot, we send out by UPS books, and then they end up getting shipped all over the country, and they've all kind of landed here. And I've only got a half-ton truck. So all of the books this week will be 20% off, all right? Any book. There might be, I think, the We Americans probably can't be. But everything else, so if you're interested, that's the sale. All right, let me get this message, and then we'll preach. Point one. You know, guys, I can preach this whole message, or we could take a really large offering right now, and I can cut it short. Because I'm a Baptist preacher, I cannot be bullied or intimidated, but I can be bought. You guys remember this? Why don't you go to Isaiah chapter 44? Do you remember? Some of you old enough remember when you went and you bought a Coke or a Pepsi. I mean, if you went someplace to eat and you're going to get a soft drink, it was going to be Coke or Pepsi. Remember those days? I preach. I don't challenge, but I'm going to give you a challenge. And you ought to do it. Go to the grocery store. I did this one time, and I went to the soft drink aisle. Go to the soft drink aisle, and don't count how many times. Don't count how many kinds of soft drinks there are. Count only the ones that say Coca-Cola. I'm not talking about count Coke, count Pepsi, count the generic brand. Only Coca-Cola. I went into a grocery store one time, and I'm counting Coca-Cola, and there were 24 different kinds of Coca-Cola. I mean, there's like Coke, there's Diet Coke, there's caffeine-free Coke, there's Diet caffeine-free Coke, there's Coke Zero. I bought a can of that. It's empty. There's vanilla Coke, cherry Coke, lime Coke, lemon Coke. Bile-flavored Coke. I mean, I don't know what they have, okay? There's every kind of Coke you can imagine. In fact, you know, did you ever go to the fast, have one of those machines where you can choose all the Cokes? Oh, I love those. I hate those. Because the person in front of me, all those choices. And, you know, in this generation, they can't make a decision. They've got to call 15 of their friends. What do you guys think I should get? And so, but that's it. Think about this. You could have 5 people living in the same household, all drinking Coke, nobody drinking the same thing. Right? I challenge you on this. And I've done it. Remember when you either bought, to brush your teeth, you bought Colgate or Crest? Go to the toothpaste aisle. In fact, some of you, would you please go to the toothpaste aisle? And the mouthwash, a deodorant wouldn't hurt. But I counted just Crest. There were 24 different kinds of Crest. I mean, they had like Crest, they had whitening Crest, they had some kind of mint, cool mint Crest, and garlic mint Crest. They had Crest with bubblegum flavor, that's what I like. They had Crest with sparkles, that's what I want. I want sparkles sticking out of my mouth, you know. But there's 20, guys, you could have 5 people living in the same house, all using Crest toothpaste, nobody uses the same thing. We are not split. We are splintered. Everything has to be you know, designer. You used to get a cup of coffee. Now you got to have a cup. I want a caramel macchiato with soy. I want it to be exactly 125 degrees. I mean, right? I remember when there was just two, Coke and Pepsi. I remember when there was just two, Crest and Colgate. And if you talk to people now, you know, there was a time when there was only one God in this country. My wife and I were about 4 weeks ago, wasn't that long ago, we were in Pennsylvania, came up to an intersection out in the country. And there on the far corner was a statue at least as tall from the floor here to the ceiling, a gold Buddha. And I thought, they built a Buddhist temple on that corner and put that statue out there. And I looked behind it, and it was an old closed warehouse. It was literally put there by that community for some reason. And you know, they say that there's, I don't know how many gods. In India has over 300 million gods. 300 million. No wonder they don't have any meat to eat. And so I'm going to talk to you this morning because there are not 300 million gods, and there are not 300 gods. There's not 100 gods, and there's not 10 gods, and there's not 5 gods, and there's not 3 gods, but there's not 1 God. There's really only ever been 2. And I'm going to talk to you about those and a couple other things where there's only ever been 2. Let's bow our heads. Let's talk to the Lord. Then we'll get into the book. Father, we thank you now, God, for your goodness and your grace and your very great kindness. And I think I speak for these people, Father, when I say this. We have no problem with you because there's nothing wrong with you. We have no problem with your book because there's nothing wrong with your book. But God, if these people are anything like me, they're a mess. And we are the biggest problem that we have. So God, these folks came here this morning because they want something from you. And I pray, God, that you'll get Sam Gipp out of their way so that they could get something from you. That they might live to your glory, Father, if they get edified in this service. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Isaiah chapter 44 through 46. It's a unique portion of the scripture because it is where God talks about himself. Now, did you ever meet? I notice everybody today talks about themselves. I mean, you could be, you know, roll your car over, laying pinned in the wreckage, and someone will come by and tell you about how their dog is sick. Everybody wants to talk about themselves. And some of them, I'm pretty sure their favorite hymn is, "How great I am, how great I am." And let me tell you what happens in the book of Job. In the book of Job, you know, Job has the problems. Those are over by chapter 2. But then his three friends, Larry, Curly, and Moe, they show up. And then they start making charges against Job. Oh, well, this is what's wrong, and this is what's wrong, and this is what's wrong. Then you get to Job chapter 32, and in Job chapter 32, Elihu, which is penning all this, he's kind of a witness. He's watching Job, he's watching these three, and he's writing down everything that goes on. And Elihu, starting in Job chapter 32 to 37, Elihu talks about God, and he gives God a lot of praise. But starting in Job chapter 38 to 42, you know what? It's kind of like it got God in gear, and God says, "Oh, you guys think I'm great? Let me tell you how great I am." Now, guys, you say, "Well, it sounds like God has an ego." When you're God, you can have one. Amen. I mean, how many universes have you spoken into existence, right? And so, yeah, you know what it says? Bible says this. God said, "I was thinking one day I needed to swear by something. I couldn't think of anything greater, so I swore by myself, because that's our God." And so in Isaiah chapter 43 through 46, God just says some things about his own greatness that you will not find in any other place in the Bible like you'll find it in these verses. And so that's what we're going to look at, because this God is the one that we worship. Look at what it says in verse 6. "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God." Now, isn't that kind of pointed? I mean, when he says, "Hey, India has 300 million gods," I think they're offended. Why don't they gang up on him? If they're gods, why don't they gang up on him? You know what God says? God says, "Guys, there is no other God. It's just me." What would you people do if a guy walks in here today? He stands right here in front of this communion table, and he looks the place over. He goes, "Oh, that's what I thought. I was looking for a church, and I ran into a woman's Bible study because I can't see anything but women in this room. There's no other men in this room but me." Now, you men, would that not offend you? And I'm telling you, buddy, if somebody did that and I'm in this room, you know what I'd do? I would leap to my feet and say, Pastor, go up there and show him how wrong he is on what he said. But if the guy stood here, I mean, really, isn't there a here that if somebody said, I'm the only man in this room, wouldn't there be one guy? You might not win the fight, but you at least want him to know there was another man in the room. You know what your God does? He stands up in front of all of the gods of the world. He stands up in front of Buddha. He stands up in front of Muhammad. He stands up in front of 300 million Indian gods. And you know what he says? He looks the whole crowd over and goes, that's what I thought. I'm the only God. There's no other God but me. I don't. If you were one of those gods, wouldn't you take issue with that? One of those Indian gods has six arms. Wouldn't you say, if I had six arms, first off, if I had six arms, ain't nobody I'd be afraid of. But if you had six arms, wouldn't you say, wait. You know why they don't stand up? Because they don't exist. Your God exists. And so your God is the true God. Look at verse 8. Fear you not, neither be afraid. Have not I told you thee from this from that time and have declared it? You're even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. Now look, if a man said, I'm looking around, I don't see another man. Wouldn't you say, I'll show you one? Our God looks at all these other gods and he says, is there another God? I don't even know of another God. I'm the only one. There's nothing wrong with him saying that because he is the only God. Look at chapter 45. In chapter 45, verse 5, I am the Lord, and there is none else. There is no God beside me. I girded thee, though thou hast not known me. Look at verse 19. I have not spoken in secret in a dark place of the earth. I said not unto the seed of Jacob, seek ye me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right. You know what he's saying? He's saying, I didn't say I'm the only God in secret. Don't say amen to what I'm going to say. And maybe some of you men have done this. I don't know about women, but probably some of you men have done it. You ever go out behind the barn, look toward heaven, and tell God off? I mean, you just ever say something that you ought to be, you know, at that moment, you're kind of glad God's not quick on the lightning bolts. And then about 3 days later, thanks, I was an idiot. I'm sorry for what I said, okay? He said, I didn't go out behind the barn and say this. I'm the only God. I don't know of another God. He said, I stood up in front of all 300 million and said, if there's another God, stand up and do something about this. He said, did I say this in secret? Verse 20, assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge to set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together. Who hath declared this from an ancient time? Who hath told it from that time? Have not I the Lord, and there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior? There is none beside me. Look unto me, and be ye saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else. This is God. This is our God. And he makes it very plain, and he's not afraid who hears him. I used to work with this painter when I was in Bible college, and this guy, he told me about a painter that he had worked with. And he said, this guy that I worked with was always talking to me, man. I'm the head. I tell my wife what to do. She jumps. She doesn't ever argue with me. She doesn't ever backtalk me. And he said, he invited me over for lunch to his house one day. And he said, I wasn't even interested in lunch. It's probably a deaf mute. But anyway, He said, we walked in the house, walked into the kitchen, and he said, for no reason, he just kicked a kitchen chair all the way across the room. I said, what'd you do that for? He said, just show he's a boss in my house. Man, what does your wife think of that? I don't know, she's not here right now. Yeah, everybody's brave when nobody's home. God didn't have to wait until every other God off so he could say, I'm the only God. You understand? He didn't mean I'm the only one on duty today. He means 24/7 from eternity, I am the only God, and nobody say anything bad to back to him. Look at chapter 46, verse 9. Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is none else. I am God, and there is none like me. Guys, there's two gods. But the one you want to be interested in is this God. He's the God of creation, spoke a universe into existence. He's a God that can do all. You want to see the other God? Take a look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our God be hid, if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The other God is the God of this world. Now, when I say there's no other gods, I'm talking about anything else. You know, that I was telling you about, it has got as much life in it as this pulpit. Now, you could walk up to that, you know, hey, pulpit, I think you're a stupid piece of wood. You think I'm worried about this pulpit? I could walk up to that Buddha statue and say, hey, fat boy, you don't like that? Why don't you do something about it? I'll tell you how lifeless that God is. If somebody caught me talking to it, you know what they'd say? They wouldn't say, oh, he's offended the God. They'd say, well, he's nuts. He's talking to someone that can't hear him. You know what Isaiah says? Back here in Isaiah, it says a guy takes a piece of wood, carves a God out of it, has the remnant, the chips that he carved off, and he says he burns those and cooks his meal and then prays to the piece of wood that he carved. And he's getting more benefit out of the scrap. But there is another God. When I say another God, I may say a God that thinks, a God that is alive, a God that has a personality. He is known as the God of this world. You can call him the God of this world. You can call him the devil. You can call him Lucifer. You can call him Satan. I'll tell you what I call him, loser. Now to lose, you've got to try, right? He tried. He tried again. Got whipped both times. You know, your pastor was talking about years ago, I was a youth director for a church about 2,000 people. And I don't know, you know, back then, it wasn't quite so bad when you went door to door. Now you can find any kind of a zoo out there. But every now and then, you would run into a Satan worshiper. And whenever you ran into a Satan worshiper, and I told my young people, I said, if you ever run into a Satan worshiper, here's what they'll do. I said, they'll come, I mean, everything, the whole thing is drama. You know, they come to the door. And they never say this. They never say, oh, well, I worship the devil. They go, I worship the devil. And Christians are, stay back, stay back. So I told my young people, I said, if you ever run into a Satan worshiper, they say they worship the devil, say this. Too bad you picked a loser. So what do you mean? My God whipped your God twice. Whipped him in Isaiah chapter 14 when he threw him out of heaven. Whipped him again in Matthew chapter 4, did he not? Guys, I don't know how many heavyweight champions of the world there are right now. I don't know how there could be three or four, but there always seems to be. And I say that because I want to reference something that sometimes Christians think, and it's wrong. Sometimes Christians think that this contest between our God and the devil is a great big arm wrestling contest. Oh, look, something good happened today. God's winning. Oh, look, something bad happened today. Gas prices went up. The devil's winning. That is not the case. I don't know how many heavyweight champions of the world there are, but usually it goes like this. Some challenger is going to take on the champ. So they ask the challenger, how do you think the fight's going to go? And he'll say something like, I'll go knock him out in a three round. It's about all the farther you can count, right? Now, what'd you do if you're the challenger? You said you're going to knock the champ out in the third round. They go to the champ. Say, champ, says he's going to knock you out third round. How do you think the fight's going to go? And the champ says this. Well, see, that's my problem. There's no way I'm going to lose. I know I'm going to whip this kid, and I want to give him a chance. So I'll tell you what I'm going to do. For 40 days and 40 nights before I fight him, I'm just not going to eat anything. And that way, when I get in the ring, I'll be real weak because it's the only hope he's got. That's what your God did before he faced the devil. 40 days and 40 nights. You know, I know some people pray 40 days or 40 nights and fast. And I'm glad if you do that. I'm glad if you do that. I had a pastor call me. He's a good friend. And he's kind of glum. He said, pray for me, brother. I said, yeah, what's the matter? He said, I've been seeking the will of God in my life. He said, I just got done fasting for 21 days, 3 weeks to hear the will of God. I haven't heard a thing from him. I said, thank you for telling me that. He said, why? I said, because now if I'm ever looking for the will of God, I'm not going to not eat for 3 weeks because he's still not going to talk to me. If I'm not going to hear from God, I'm going to not hear from him with a burger in my hand, okay? But I have a friend, he fasted for 40 days. You know what he said? He said, after 30 days, you lay in bed and your body digests itself. How about at the end of that 10 days, at the end of 40 days? Because here's what we say. Ooh, I bet if you didn't eat for 40 days, you'd really be spiritual. You'd really be hungry. And then your God got in the ring with the greatest force of evil in the universe, the devil, and knocked him out through the ropes in 3 punches. It is written, it is written, it is written. Guys, your God could pull one hair out of his head and beat the devil to death with it. So we had visitation one night. I had these two little girls, and they were kind of like little butterflies. They wouldn't hurt a thing. And they come in from visiting, and they were giddy. They were giggling and laughing. I said, what's the matter? They said, we found one. I said, found what? They said, we found a Saint Lucifer. I said, well, what happened? They said, well, the house was kind of dark, you know, and it's kind of scary, and we're kind of standing there. We're all kind of scared. Knocked on the door, and sure enough, here comes a cross between Vincent Price and Lurch, or John Kerry. Anyway, and this guy, they said, man, did he look spooky. And we're going,
what do you want?
Oh, we're here from the Massive Baptist Temple. We're knocking on doors, passing on tracks. And they said, this is exactly what he did. They said, just like I told him, say, he said, well, I worship the devil. I said, what'd you do? They said, we both smiled. I said, what'd he do? He went, and then one piped up and said, too bad you picked a loser. What do you mean? Our God whipped your God twice. Hey, guys, whipped him in Isaiah chapter 14. Whipped him in Matthew chapter 4. And whenever there's a battle like that, nobody ever claims victory because the loser always says, I want a rematch. It's going to be one more rematch. It's going to be in the Battle of Armageddon, Revelation chapter 19. And you're betting your soul on who wins that battle, aren't you? You're betting your soul on Jesus Christ. So there is one God. And then there is the false God. There are many religions. You've got Baptists and you've got Methodists and Catholics and Episcopalians and Pentecostals and Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons and all kinds of religions, and churches. But really, guys, there's really only two churches. There's only two churches. I want you to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. The Bible says this in verse 32, give none offense, neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. A person who is a Jew, when they get saved, technically they're no longer a Jew. They're a member of the church of God. When they're a Gentile and they get saved, they're technically not a Gentile anymore. They're a member of the church of God. Now, when I say church of God, I'm not talking about First Church of God downtown, if you have one. That means everybody that gets saved is in the body of Jesus Christ, the church of Jesus Christ. And so that is the true church. That church has run parallel to a phony church for quite a long time. So I'm a Baptist, okay? But that's my denomination, that's my religion, whatever you call it. But when I got saved, I actually was a Roman Catholic when I got saved. And until I joined that Baptist church, I was Roman Catholic, but I was still in the church of God. So there is God's church, and one of these days he's going to come back and he's going to take it to himself. I'm all for that. But there is another church. I want you to go to Numbers chapter 22. Numbers chapter 22. Look at the very last verse. Verse 41. It came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of Baal, from thence he might see the utmost part of the people. The other church is Baal worship. You say, well, preacher, I've never seen a church in my life called the Church of Baal. Oh yeah, you have. It's not called the Church of Baal. Today it's known as a Roman Catholic Church. I'm sorry, that is exactly what it was. These guys had the robe priest, they had the whole nine yards. You know, you get these people and they say, we came out of the Roman Catholic Church. We were never in the Roman Catholic Church. And the Roman Catholic Church never came out of us. It was never in the Church of God. If you think about it this way, if you think about a mountain range just a ridge line. And on one side of that mountain is the true church, the folks who got saved. And on the other, the world sees is Roman Catholicism. I heard somebody say this, and this is probably true. If you check it out, go get a church, get a book on church history, and all you'll hear about is the Roman Catholic Church. Because people claim like it was the real church. Never has been the real church, guys. It's Baal worship. So there's not a million gods. There's only two. And there's not 400 or 500 different kinds of churches. There's only two. Go to Psalm 12 with me, if you will. Psalm 12. These are the verses that we cherish. It says this in verse 6. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. I had somebody tell me this one time. You know, there's like 200 Bibles out there. Not 200 Bibles out there. There's not 200 Bibles. I did a count one time. I came up with... English Bibles, I came up with, I think, 473 or 474 Bibles in English. Now, the first 13 of those are in Middle English, so that'd bring it down around just basically about 460. Oh, you mean there's 460 Bibles? No. No, there's not 460 Bibles. There's not 400 Bibles. There's not 300 Bibles. There's not 200 Bibles. There's not 100 Bibles. There's not 50 Bibles. There's not 10 Bibles. There's not 5 Bibles. There's not 3 Bibles. But there's not one Bible. There's only ever been two. Oh, wait a minute, preacher. Look here. Look, I can take you to a bookstore. There's 25 Bibles, all different versions. No. There's 24 of the bad ones and one. Because there's only two locations that the Greek manuscripts that our Bible comes from, that Bibles are generated from. You have Antioch in Syria, which is what is known as the Textus Receptus, which your King James Bible comes from. You have Alexandria in Egypt, where they've been corrupted. Guys, search the scripture. None of the apostles, none of the disciples ever went to Egypt. Nothing from God ever came out of Egypt. Egypt is a type of the world. Why would anybody go to Egypt for a Bible? And the things that I showed you in Sunday school, you know where those... Well, who took that verse out? Who took that word out? People in Egypt. Origen was one of the first Bible correctors. Origen did not believe in a Trinity. So when he came to 1 John chapter 5, verse 7, it says, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. These three are one. He didn't like that, so he took it out. So you buy of those 25 Bibles, 24 of them, when you get to chapter 5, verse 7, it's been stolen. They split verse 6 or they split verse 8 and made a phony verse 7. But there's not 200 Bibles. There's only two. There's your King James Bible. This is the Word and the words of God. All question of proper translation of Greek ended, or Hebrew, ended in 1611. You and I have no business reopening a crisis that the translators had when they sat down over 400 years ago and said, what do we do with this? And I got news for you. If there was a mistake in it, you're not smart enough to find it. Well, I know a man, and he's a scholar. He doesn't compare to what these guys were. So, guys, there's this Bible. And then there's everything else. And they take out the deity. They take out the Trinity. They take out the virgin birth. You saw, I told you, and listen, that's what they'll do. They'll say, well, there's only about 1% difference, but you saw what the 1% is. Taking Calvary out and putting skull in. You sang a song in the morning service that had the word Calvary. Hey, every time you sing Calvary in a hymn, think at that moment, what if we put skull in here? Because that's what the new translations do. So when they make a change, the change is a major thing. They make Joseph Jesus' father, making him a sinner like you and me. They take his sonship away. You saw the attacks. They keep his kingdom from ever being down here. They do everything they can because man wants the kingdom without the king. So all the other ones. There's not 200. There's not even three. But there's not one. There's two. There's... I want you to go with me, if you will, to Romans chapter 3 and John chapter 14. Romans chapter 3 and John 14. There's There's not a million gods. There's not five gods. There's not three gods. There's only ever been two. There's only two churches. There's only two Bibles. I'm sorry, I skipped one. We'll get to Romans here in a second and John. Guys, there's only two eternal destinies. You're going to heaven or you're going to hell. Doesn't matter. Well, I think there's purgatory. You can think it all you want. There's no purgatory. Well, babies die and they go to limbo. Limbo's a dance. There's no place called limbo. There's no place called purgatory. Closest thing to purgatory, the Greek word for purgatory is mother-in-law. That's as close as you get to purgatory. I was picking up a hitchhiker. I picked up a hitchhiker some years ago, and I admit, I got to come up with a better way to open a witness to a hitchhiker. I mean, it's really, when you pick up a guy who was hitchhiking, it's really not good to say, "So tell me, if you died right now, do you know for a fact you go to heaven?" I mean, every time I say that, they go for the door handle. And I go for the gas. And I've never done this, but I want to in the worst way. I would look over and go, "You'll be number 12. And so I start, "What is this kid?" And he tells me he doesn't believe in God and doesn't believe in hell. Well, now look, when somebody says, "I don't believe in God," what do you think? God has an identity crisis? "They don't believe in me." Man, the angels in heaven probably say, "Lord, he says he doesn't believe in you. What are you going to do to him?" "Already doing it." "Well, what are you doing to him?" "Nothing. But the clock's ticking. And with every second, he comes closer to stand in front of me, and he's going to believe in me that day." Madeline Murray O'Hare believes in God. Right? She's a King James Bible believer, in fact. Now, a little bit late. Guys, there's heaven, there's hell. So this kid says, "I don't believe in God. I don't believe in hell." I said, "That's nothing." I said, "I believe the world's flat." He said, "The world's not flat. The world's round." I said, "Flat." He said, "The world's round like a ball, flat like a table." He said, "They went out in space and turned around, took pictures of it. It's round." I said, "I don't believe those pictures. It's flat." Now, please, people, there was a time when you could say the world was flat and everybody laughed. Now there's actually a Flat Earth Society, and on their website it says, "We have flat believers in the flat earth all around the globe." That makes my head hurt. And so finally this kid said what I wanted. He finally says this, "Well, it doesn't matter what you believe, the world's still round, even if you don't believe it's round." And I said, "You're right. Doesn't matter what you believe. You don't believe there's a hell? There's still a hell. You don't believe there's a God? There's still a God. Guys, everybody on this planet is going to die, and they're going to go to heaven, or they're going to go to hell, and they're not going anyplace else. Okay? There's two gods. That's all there's ever been. There's two churches. That's all there's ever been. There's only ever been two Bibles. There's only ever been two eternal destinies. But there's only ever been one way to get to heaven. You ever hear anybody say, "Well, you know, we're all going to the same place. We're just going different ways." I'll amen that if they're talking about hell. Because you can go to hell all kinds of things. I mean, you can go to hell an atheist. You can go to hell a Bible believer. You can go to hell a priest. You can go to hell a preacher. You can go to hell a Methodist. Guys, there's a place in hell for Methodists. There's a place in hell for Episcopalians. There's a place in hell for Mormons. There's a place in hell for Muslims. There's a place in hell for Jehovah's Witnesses. There's a place in hell for Baptists. Now, it's probably over here all by itself. Even there, they won't fellowship with anybody else. Baptists may go to hell, but they'll keep their convictions. But look what the Bible says in Romans chapter 3, verse 28. "Therefore, for we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law." And then the famous verse, look at John chapter 14, verse 6. "Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Amen. You know what that verse means? If I ask you this morning, "You saved?" You say, "Oh yeah, I'm saved." And I say, "How'd you get saved?" And if you tell me how you got saved and don't mention Jesus Christ, you're not saved. "Well, I joined the church." Somebody once said there's going to be so many church members in hell, their feet will be sticking out the windows. Well, you know, we were down south, you know, way down south where everybody's saved and gone to hell. And we were telling this young woman about our ministry, and she's all excited. I mean, she's just thrilled. And I said, well, when did you get saved? And she said, my daddy was a deacon. That's good. I said, when did you get saved? She said, I was raised in church. Did you ever think your mouth's not saying what your brain thinks it's saying? I thought I was asking when she got saved, but I must have said, what was your dad? And I must have said, how were you raised? I think it's great if your dad's a deacon, and I think it's great if you're raised in church. And neither one of them will get you to heaven. Who was the guy that was the governor of New York? Bloomberg. That Bloomberg guy said, when I die, he said, I'm going to heaven. I won't even stop at the gate. And just talked about how good he was. I'm sorry. But if he hasn't trusted Jesus Christ as personal Savior, he's going to hell. And some great people of history are going to hell. You know why? They wouldn't trust Jesus Christ, their personal Savior. And probably somebody that you don't even like is going to heaven. You know why? Because they trust Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And I'm glad if your dad was a deacon. I'm glad if your mom was a Sunday school teacher. Maybe your dad was a preacher. Doesn't matter. I am telling you that if you don't take the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ as the sole and complete payment for your sin, you're going to hell. Well, I don't believe in hell. You will. You will. I'm not going to try to convince you. You will. You're going to go. Do you understand? Because there's only one way. Baptism, that water, you get in that water after you got saved. That water does not fireproof you. All that means is getting in that water when you go to hell, like a drop of water on a skillet. You'll just sizzle for a few seconds and that's it. Guys, there's only ever been two gods. There's only been two churches. There's only ever been two Bibles. There's only been two destinies. But there's only one way to heaven. I'd like you to stand with your heads bowed. Your heads bowed and your eyes closed. There's only two gods, people. Aren't you glad if you got the right one? Only true churches. Aren't you glad if you're in Christ? Only two Bibles. Do you ever thank God that you got a preacher that comes to the pulpit and doesn't say, I found a mistake that God made? Boy, you ought to thank God for a preacher who believes a book. There's only two eternal destinies. And America's not one of them. For a Christian, I think America's a great place to live, but this is as close to hell as we get. And for some Americans, this is as close to heaven as they get. Many years ago, I witnessed to my dad and mom for 12 years. They were coming up to New York where I was pastoring, and I told my wife, I said, my dad and mom are not going to get saved. I've talked to them, they're not getting saved. We lived up in the Finger Lakes. I said, let's make this the greatest week they've ever had. We took them all over the place. I said, they're gone to hell. Let's make it a great week. We did. We showed them. We took them all the way to Niagara Falls. We showed them the beautiful trees, the colors of the trees as they were changing in fall. Because that was all they're going to get, because that's as close to heaven as they were going to get. And then that week, they trusted Christ, their personal Savior. So how'd they do that? They took His death and His burial and His resurrection as the sole and complete payment for their sin. They didn't count their good works. They didn't count their baptism. They didn't count their church membership. They didn't count their citizenship. They didn't count anything good they did, because that won't get you there. And if you're here this morning and you're trusting something else, are you saved? Well, let me ask you this question. Answer to yourself. Are you saved? Now, if you just said yes to yourself, then answer this one to yourself. Why you say it? Well, my dad was a good man. Hey, I'll tell you, nothing breaks my heart than to see a guy with a jacket on that says something like, got a picture of Afghanistan or Iraq or Vietnam, says, I'll go to heaven when I die because I already spent my time in hell. No, they spent their time in war, and it's awful. I wish I could merit them a place in heaven. But unless they take Jesus Christ, their personal Savior, they're going to hell. In just a moment, I'm going to have a word of prayer. When I get done praying, then the piano's going to play. The invitation is going to begin. If you're not saved, you're trusting your dad's salvation or your mom's salvation or your brother or sister's salvation. You're counting your good works or your baptism or how much scripture you memorized. What you need to do is come down here and give up on all of that. take Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. If you are saved, maybe some of you ought to just get down on your knees and say, God, thanks. Thanks I got the right God. Thanks I'm in the right church. Thank you, God, I got the right Bible. And I'm headed to the right place. Because people, there's only ever been two. Except for salvation. And then there's only one way to get to heaven. Father, thank you for your goodness and thank you for your grace and thank you for your great kindness. God, these people came here to church today for you. They came because they want something from you. God, I pray that maybe something that was said, maybe turned a light on, maybe answered a question, maybe somebody found out they're not saved today. God, if there's anybody here that has not trusted you, your son's death, burial, and resurrection as the payment for their sin, God, it's not a shame to come to church lost. But it's such a shame to leave that way. Don't let them leave that way. Let them trust Christ as their personal Savior. And for those who are saved, yeah, they ought to be glad they're an American. Probably some other things, glad for their spouse and glad for their parents and their kids, glad for their church here. But, oh Lord God, they ought to be thankful that they got some things right. They got the right God. They got in the right church. They got the right Bible. They got the right eternal destiny. And I hope maybe before they leave here, someone will really thank you for where they're going to spend eternity. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed as the instruments play, if you need to come and talk to the Lord, why don't you come?